We are gathered here today to say goodbye to someone who has been very close to us for a long time. We have intimately known him for nearly all of our lives, and he's played a major role in who we have been and the life that each of us has lived. We have enjoyed his company, for he has given us freedom to live and do as our hearts desire. He has helped us to have more fun and pleasure than anyone could dream of. We have partied with him, and he has indulged our every whim and desire. He has encouraged us to fulfill every fleshly craving that we could possibly want. He has taught us to lust after all kinds of sexual pleasures, drink alcohol till we pass out, smoke and do drugs till we are as high as a kite, lie, steal, cheat, hate, gossip, fly off the handle, cuss and swear and tell dirty jokes, be mean and hateful, and to be gluttons for food and money and things of this old world. He's meaner than a cornered rattlesnake. It is as sly as an old fox. He has destroyed multitudes of precious souls and then sits back and laughs them to scorn while they burn in hell. Yet in spite of this devious ways, we find it hard to get rid of him. Somehow, he is so ingrained in our lives until it is almost impossible for us to do what is necessary to get him out of our very souls. We know that we must take drastic action to rid our souls of him, but yet we do everything under our power to keep him alive. Sometimes we hang on to him till he almost drags us under the miry clay of sinful destruction. Eventually, we realize that there is only one thing we can do to rid ourselves of his cancerous damnation. We have to crucify him. He must die by crucifixion, and we have to be the one to decide to nail him to death. We finally come to the conclusion that our old man is crucified only with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin any longer. I'd like you to stand and get ready to come view the old man. You will come across this way. Then you come by and view, ponder a little bit, look at his body, and see what he consists of. No. Did anyone recognize anything from your life? How many here used to be an old carnal? An old man. The word old man here in the scripture, the Greek word that Paul uses for man, refers to the individual man or woman rather than to the male person. Mankind. The word he uses for old means old in point of use. Mr. Trench defines the word as follows: old in the sense that it is more or less worn out. It describes something that is worn out, useless, fit to be put on the scrap pile to be discarded. So thus the old man here refers to that person the believer was before he was saved. Totally depraved, unregenerate, lacking the life of God. Were we ever there? Did we realize before we accepted Christ as our Savior how totally depraved we were? Does not the Scripture teach us that if we err in one way, we are guilty of all? So if I hate somebody, I'm as good as a murderer. That's the way the old man is. There's nothing surprising as to what he will do. Because that when they knew not God, this is the description, the biblical description of the old man. When they knew him not as God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. That's how base man became. That's how totally depraved from righteousness, holiness, and the purity of God that man fell to the place where he exchanged God to worship created things here on this earth. Further explanation of the old man is found in Colossians. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Here is the old man: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also sometime walk. Paul said to the Colossian Christians, this used to be you. This used to be who you were. You walked in these things and you practiced these things. Now you also put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one to another, and seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Can you say there was a time in my life when anger, when wrath, when malice, when blasphemy, filthy communication, and things of that nature proceeded out of me? Maybe even since we have come to Christ, we have allowed the resurrection of the old man from time to time. Putting the old man to death. Paul says in Romans 6:6 that our old man is what? Crucified. Anybody here ever seen a crucifixion? You know, they talk about this fellow they executed in Ohio, I think, a week or so ago, and it took him 20 minutes to die. My Lord, he had it easy. When you had crucifixion, it took hours hanging on the cross for one to die. Crucified with who? With Christ. That the body of sin might what? Be destroyed. What does that mean, to be destroyed? Means it is no more. It means it is annihilated. It is done away with. And so the old man that we have been needs to be totally, let's get that in our minds. We can't just set him back in the corner for a little bit and pick him up when we need him. We can't just let him under the surface and then when something goes wrong, allow him to rise up within us. What the apostle is saying, you have to deal with him. You have to destroy him. You have to nail him to the cross. You have to crucify him. That is, kill him and make sure that he doesn't exist in your life. Why? That henceforth we should not serve sin. That is, that our old self was crucified, that is, put to death with him, in order that the body possessed by sin might be rendered inoperative, that henceforth we are not yielding an habitual slave's obedience to sin. I was interested this morning, they were talking on the news about the bowl game today, and now they've had to train the police to be aware of a new traffic violation, because both of the teams that are playing come from states that have legalized marijuana, and now the police are being trained to spot stone drivers. Don't you think they had enough trouble spotting drunk drivers? And now they're adding this to it. So you see, those people become habitual slaves to their sin. People that say, well, I've got a temper. What they're saying is that I'm a slave to my temper. Anytime it wants to flare up, I just let it go. You'll hear a word or two from me, and every sin, you go down the list. I had a gentleman in my church on the Eastern Shore that was a proverbial liar. You couldn't believe anything he said. Everything that came out of his mouth, you had to verify that it was the truth, because we had caught him in so many lies about what he was saying and he was doing and here and there and what have you in life. He became a slave. And so what Paul is saying, when you crucify, when you destroy this old man, you bring him to a place where he is destroyed and he is not controlling your life any longer. You have the power over him. You have the power to deal with him. In Colossians 3 and 5, Paul instructs believers to mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. To mortify here, the Greek word means to put to death again, to deprive of power, to destroy the strength of. I had almost an intention of getting a pack of cigarettes and a beer bottle and some of those, maybe a Playboy magazine, and bring a nail and a hammer and a piece of wood and nail them. Crucify them. That's exactly what we have to do with the things that control our body. If we are given to anger, if we're given to backbiting, if we're given to gossiping, if we're giving to any of the things that you saw on the old man there, if we're given to them, we have to crucify, mortify, we have to deal with it, take it down in our lives and get rid of it. Paul is dealing with life and death here. Why is he so strong? Why is the Word of God so strong on this old man and how we have to deal with him? Because it is a matter of life and death. It's a matter of your spiritual life. It's a matter of your spiritual death. Which one of us can go up to the pearly gates of heaven? And if it is so that the Apostle Peter will meet us there and say, well, I cuss a little bit every now and then, but let me in anyhow. Well, I get angry and I let my temper fly, but let me in anyhow. Oh, I talk about so-and-so. You know, I gossip. I spread. I hear this and I call somebody up and I tell them all that I've heard about so-and-so. But let me in anyhow. Oh, I've only told a couple little white lies. But let me in anyhow. Does it work? No. None of the old man is allowed in. You can't take anything in with you that's been a part of you. So if the old man is still reigning in your life, in your soul, in your being, and you're allowing him to control you, then, my friend, the simple message is he's not going to heaven. So we have to deal with him. It might hurt. It might not be a pleasant thing. It might not be a pretty thing to deal with when we have to crucify part of this old flesh and kill it and get rid of it out of our lives and bring it under the blood of Jesus Christ. But if we want to make a heaven, that's what we've got to do. In Christ's death, in His death, the power of evil nature over believers' physical body was broken. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now the believer is charged with the responsibility of maintaining that state of liberation. When we come to Christ with our old man and we're loaded down with all of these sins and all of this debauchery and all of this depravity, when we come to Christ that way and we accept Jesus, He washes us, He cleanses our record, He cleanses our soul and our being, and we rise refreshed in the Lord. But then it becomes our responsibility to maintain it. That means I can't just let the old man have his way anymore. Have I ever had to bite my tongue? You want to see the marks? Have I ever had to keep the old flesh? What did Paul say? I beat my body into subjection, that I might attain the resurrection of the Lord. I ask you the question this morning, which is most important to you? Allowing the old flesh to have his way or making heaven your home? So you see, we have to maintain the liberation. And as the evil nature comes before the believer, he is to put them to death, that is, refuse to obey them. Oh, I've had people say to me, I want to give this up, but I just can't quite do it yet. When are you going to be able to do it? You have to come to a place where you say, it's done. I'm finished with it. I'm over with it. I'm going to keep my tongue in my mouth when it shouldn't be running. I'm going to keep my mind on the things of the Lord instead of the things of the world. I refuse to covet after what somebody else has. I refuse to be greedy when the lotto runs to $500 million. Who is it? Responsibility. my responsibility, your responsibility to keep you, the old man, under control. What are we going to do then? We kill the old man, we crucify him, we bury him. I came close to getting a backhoe to dig a hole out here. And put up a grave marker, the old man. What are we going to do after we kill this old fellow? What's our life then going to be like? You remember what your life was like with the old man? Oh, you had some fun every now and then. The Bible says there is pleasure in sin for a season. The fellow feels real good while he's getting drunk. But the next morning he don't feel so good. Oh, the drug addict feels good when he's high. He loses all responsibility of things in life. But after it's all over, he has to deal with the results. When you fly off the handle and tell somebody off, boy, I told them a thing or two. But then you've got to deal with all of the stuff that comes with that. You see, there's no pleasure in sin except for just a short season. So when we get rid and we kill this old man, what's going to take his place? We need to resurrect the new man in Christ to take the old man's place. Hallelujah. I couldn't quite pull off a resurrection here this morning. Romans 6:4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. How many believe that Christ arose from the dead? Amen. He took our burden of sin upon Him. God the Father, pardon me, even turned His back upon Jesus and could not look upon His only Son because of the sinfulness of man, because of the old carnality of mankind. Jesus was denied the presence of the Father. He had to go down into hell and face the devil himself. But I'm glad to say this morning, He rose from the dead as victor over death, sin, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah! And He did so that we could be new people. That the old man we were no longer lives at the address where we live. I'll never forget what Brother West did after he got saved that Sunday. He went in to work out there at Greensburg, driving truck for the county, and he told his supervisor, "Should I get a new Social Security card?" Supervisor, not knowing what happened over the weekend, said, Well, I don't know. Why should you? He said, "You've got a new man on the job today." He left there on a Friday, cussing and swearing and a big chaw of tobacco in his mouth. Had a temper that if you looked at him crossways, he'd smack you between the eyes and it was over. That was the old Dick West. But when he walked back in on a Monday morning, the temper was gone, the anger, the could of tobacco was gone, hello, and everything else was gone. God had taken it away, and there was a new man, a resurrected man. We are not only placed in Christ by the Holy Spirit to separate us from the evil nature of by death and burial in Christ, but we are also placed into Christ by the Holy Spirit to experience His resurrection and to have divine life imparted to us. Amen. This is not just turning over a new leaf.
Right.
This is not just about Well, you know, depending on ourselves, we need a baptism of the Holy Spirit within our lives. The divine impartation of God's holiness and righteousness by the experience of repentance, confession, and redemption and regeneration. And when that happens in our lives, we have a divine power. We have a divine unction and anointing to rise up against the old man, the cursing and the swearing, and tell it to go where it belongs. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Newness of life is that divine nature imparted through the Holy Spirit, which becomes in the believer a new source of ethical, moral, and spiritual life, which causes the believer to hate sin and love righteousness, giving him the desire and the power to do God's good pleasure.
Amen.
Don't tell me when you come to Christ and you accept His salvation that you still love the old things of the world. Because when you get that experience in Christ, you no longer love them. They may tempt you, but you no longer love them. You hate sin. You hate wickedness. You hate the things that are represented in the old man. You have no desire to be around them anymore. I've had more than one sinner that got saved and gave their heart to the Lord. I've had more than one tell me, you know, I just don't want to be around that anymore. I don't want to be among those kind of people. I don't want to be in their presence. I want to be free from those things in my life. The Lord has set the believer free. And whom the Lord has set free is free indeed. Hallelujah. As a child of God, you can tell the old man where to go. Amen. Get off my back. I think I've told him before, but Brother Lamar Vest used to pastor. He was the youth director here in the state of Maryland for the Church of God, and I served under him on the youth board several years ago for the Church of God in the state of Maryland. And he had a church he pastored many years ago, and he used to have an old fellow in the church that every Sunday night when they had testimony meeting, he'd get up and say, "Well, the devil's just rode my back all week long." And Brother Vest got tired of it one night. And the brother get up to testify and tell how much the devil had ridden his back. And Brother Vest just told him, "You take that saddle off your back, it wouldn't be so easy for the devil to ride." If you've got a sin and you've got a problem that you're dealing with and you haven't killed it, you haven't crucified it, you need to take it out of the cupboard, you need to take it out of the refrigerator, you need to take it and nail it to the cross.
Amen.
Get rid of it.
Amen.
The believer will no longer allow sin to reign in their mortal body, nor obey it in the lust thereof. I remember an old fellow on the Eastern Shore got saved, and he was a womanizer, 80 years old. Paid him to come to his little bus up in the woods. And he got saved, gave his heart to the Lord. And I followed him one day. I happened to be going to the trash bins up the road, and I taken my trash, and he had just left. And on top of the trash pile were all of these Playboys and all of these magazines that he had taken out of his house and took them to the trash.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah! I knew he had gotten something then.
Right.
Amen. He crucified the old mortal flesh and would not allow lust therein. He did ask me, though, when he come to ask me to be baptized, and I said, "Well, yeah, I'll be glad to baptize you, but I want to know one thing. Are you through with the women?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "I want to go to heaven." But he said, "Pastor, if you could help me find a wife, I would appreciate it." He's 80-some years old. I should have had some of you ladies there. The believer will not yield the members of his body as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but will yield his members as instruments of righteousness unto God. If you fly off the handle and tell somebody off, who did that? Did the devil do it? You did it. If you commit a sin, who did it? You can't blame your wife for it. You can't blame your husband for it. You can't blame your parents for it. There's too much blame on her. You have to stand square-footed on the bottom of the soles of your feet, look in your mirror and say, "God, you need to straighten yourself up right now and take care of business." You will not yield. You do not allow your fingers, your hands, your lips, your mind, your feet. It used to be a little old song the kids sang. "Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. There's a Father up above who is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little hands. Oh, be careful, little feet. Oh, be careful, little mouth." And that's so true, yet he's talking about what Paul is writing about. Sin in the resurrected man has no more dominion over the believer, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. How many believe when you accepted Christ, you have somebody more powerful in your life than anything else in the world? Yes. And you and he together can take care of business, right?
That's right.
The only reason you won't take care of business is because you want to let him out. And you want the old man to continue to reign in your body. So I'm asking for new people, new men, new women in Christ. Is there anyone here today that you are allowing the old man to control your life? The old carnal nature rears its ugly head in you, and you say and do things that are, you know, are contrary to the nature of Jesus Christ. It's time for him to die. Are you willing to put him to death? Are you willing to bury him here today? In Christ Jesus. Do you want to be a new person? Resurrected to a new life in Jesus Christ? Are you ready to die to sin and raised to new life? If so, I want you to just get out of your seats right now and come on down around this altar and say, "Lord, I want this old man to be dead. He's reared his ugly head for the last time in my life. I want him to be dead. I want it over with him. God, here I am." Come on. I want you to be crucifying him. You're meaning business now when you're coming. Not the same old thing. You know, I've seen many alligator tears at the altar of God down through the years. I'm sorry for right now, but later on I allow him back up. We're done. It's over. There's going to be some blood left at this altar. There's going to be some crucifying done this morning. Lord, that old man, that old nature, that old carnality that used to be, "Lord, here I am. Wash me clean right now and endue me with the Spirit and the power of God. Endue me."
of God. And from this day forward, I declare that old corrupt nature to be dead, to be destroyed, and no longer available. Oh, Lord, I'm leaving here as a brand new individual. The old things are over. The old things are gone. The old things are done. I am a resurrected new man in Christ Jesus today. Hallelujah! Lord, I leave the old man right here with you today. I'm going to bury him in the altar of the church. And I'm going to walk out of here with a new lease on life. Hallelujah. What my wife used to see happen around the house is not going to happen anymore. What my husband used to see around the house is not going to happen anymore. What my neighbors used to hear from their side of the fence, they're no longer going to hear anymore. Oh, the tavern keeper's not going to see me anymore. The cigarette seller's not going to see me anymore. I'll not tell a lie anymore. I'm going to be honest and faithful and true because I want Christ in my life. A new individual in Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Have you given it to Him? Have you crucified it all? Have you said, Lord, here it is? I'm a new individual now in Christ Jesus. Amen. If that's what you've done, turn to your neighbor and say, hey, you got a new person you're dealing with here today. I know I hear some of you saying, I'm going to wait and see.